All right. Well, by my watch, it is 9 o'clock on the dot. So thank you all. Hello, ladies. I am so excited to talk with all of you tonight. And I'm so excited. I will let nothing prevent me from giving this talk. So you guys are right on time. And because of that, I'm going to treat you to a little story. And I actually have a 21-month-old daughter who just started daycare in December. And, you know, for those of you who have kids, I'll ask the question, what happens when your child starts daycare? They get lots of germs and illnesses that they bring home to you. So on Saturday, she came down with a stomach virus where she could literally keep nothing down. So my husband and I were up with her literally all night long. And by Monday, I thought I had caught up on my sleep, and I thought I was in the clear. Mind you, I'm also 7 months pregnant with our second child, which is, you know, enough by itself. So later in the afternoon on Monday, I'm not feeling so great. This is Monday, meaning yesterday, Monday. And by 6, you know, in the evening, it's pretty clear that I've caught her stomach virus. And, you know, I was up all night again, this time being sick myself. And, you know, even coming into today, I'm nowhere near 100%. And, you know, for a minute, I thought I actually might need to go to the ER even today. But thank God, I'm pressing my way forward. And to be honest, you know, I can't tell you how many times I thought I should just postpone this talk, right? And honestly, you know, I thought about it. I was like, if I was working for another company that I didn't own, it really wouldn't be a question. You know, for sure, I would just call out sick. And, you know, when I think about what I'm trying to offer the world and the purpose I'm working to fulfill, there's really no calling out or not showing up. And in starting my business, you know, I've made a commitment to show up for myself and to show up for you, for all of you that are, you know, taking your time to be on this call with me. So I truly thank you for showing up tonight, showing up on time. And I hope that by the end of this call, you'll have some new ways that will help you, you know, show up differently and better in your own marriage. You know, I take this work very seriously because marriage is a very serious matter, and if I've got something that can help someone else out along the way, you know, I have no choice but to share it. And I've been counting down the days, preparing and thinking about you all so much, and the time is finally here for us to connect. And so I wouldn't even let a stomach virus keep me away from you tonight. And so I really do hope that I meet and exceed your expectations. And, you know, another reason for my excitement has to do with the fact that I know we share so much in common. And I love talking with people that can sort of get me and I can get them. And so you're probably on this call because you want to find out what in the world you may be unknowingly doing to hurt your marriage. You're trying hard to get this thing right. You want to make sure you're doing your part or to keep it going strong or to get it going back strong. But more than that, you know, you're probably on this call because right now, you know, things could be a little bit better in your relationship and you want to learn some tools that will really help you. You know, maybe you're having communication issues where you feel like you're sort of talking to a brick wall, or maybe you and your husband are bickering all the time, sort of arguing over small stuff that then turns into big stuff. Or maybe you're just disconnected where instead of feeling like husband and wife, you kind of feel like roommates that are just occupying the same space. Maybe you no longer feel secure in your relationship and feel like the trust and the bond you once had is long gone. Or maybe there's just a lot of tension that you don't even really feel comfortable being around each other and you feel like you sort of have to walk on eggshells. Or maybe, honestly, your heart is just broken and you really want your best friend and love of your life back. Well, I just want you to know, you know, I can list all those things because I've been there too and I understand exactly what you are experiencing. I know firsthand your frustration, your anger, your sadness. But this call is about making things better by avoiding some common mistakes we all make, myself included. And, you know, what's really great about having you on the line is that you are a woman who's willing to look at what you can do, which is a real sign of true maturity. You know, not everyone is in that place. So I really congratulate you for being there, or at least being willing to get there to that place of really looking at yourself and what you can do. So tonight, I'm going to share with you what I consider, you know, 5 hidden ways we hurt our marriages, but more importantly, how to stop doing those things and what to do instead. And so specifically, I'm going to be covering 5 things, you know, how to stop feeling angry and hurt over the things your husband does or doesn't do, how to solve some of your most common communication issues once and for all, how to avoid having the same argument over and over again, how to reestablish the love and connection you once had, you know, back in those good old days, and how to work on your marriage in ways that get real results that you can see and feel right away. I hear so often people are like, yeah, I'm working on my marriage. But what does that even really mean, and what does that even really look like? So I've got a lot to cover tonight with you in this 1 hour that we have, and it kind of might seem, as you listen to those points, that I'm just going to like wave this magic wand and make all your marriage problems disappear. Now, I'd like to think that I'm good, but there's only so much we can accomplish in this hour, and I really do want to keep it to 1 hour or less. So hopefully we can stay connected even after this call, and you'll take advantage of lots of different ways to get this information reinforced by some of the work that I do. So some of you may be asking, you know, who are you to even be giving this talk, Siobhan? To some of you, I may be a complete stranger. Maybe you saw a post about this on Facebook or a friend told you about it, but you honestly don't really know who I am. And then to others, you know, maybe if you read one of my blog posts, or you've been on my website, or maybe you've attended one of my couples events, and maybe you know a little bit about my approach, but you've never, you know, been on a call with me or sort of seen me in this space. And then for others, you know, you may know me really well, either personally or you've been coached by me in the past, and so you sort of have a better idea of exactly what you're going to get tonight. So just so we can all get a little bit more familiar, here's a little bit about me, I'll tell you. You know, I've spent the past 15 years studying what it takes to have healthy relationships. I'm a researcher by training. I got my doctorate from Johns Hopkins University, and I've written curriculum, I've given presentations, conducted tons of workshops on the topic of relationships. And I founded my own company, Relatable, which is a life relationship and life coaching company, really dedicated to just providing the best strategies for you to relate well to anyone and anything in your life. And my mission right now, personally, is to help as many women as possible create happier and more loving marriages. But most importantly, as we gather tonight, you know, just like you, I'm a real woman who's had some pretty hard times in my own marriage. And today, you know, while I'm proud to say that I'm a happily married woman, it's been an interesting road to get there. You know, I've been with my spouse for almost 10 years. We've been married for 4.5, and our relationship has had its own set of ups and downs. You know, there are certainly times where I cannot have been more in love with him, happy with everything he was doing, jumping for joy when he walked in the room, you know, sad to see him leave and spend 1 second apart from him. And hopefully, you know, as you're listening, you can think back to moments like that in your own relationship. You know, it's really a great time, and life just seems so, so good during those times. But at the same time, right, so if I could be honest and transparent with you, there have been some really hard moments in our marriage where, you know, the way he thought about things and the way I thought about things could not have been more different. You know, we're talking to him, or even looking him in the eye was sort of the last thing I wanted to do. You know, there have been periods where, you know, he was working so much, I felt like he was just a visitor in the house. And, you know, maybe we were more connected to social media than each other in times where it seemed like I was doing everything and he was doing nothing. You know, he's broken my heart. And there were moments where I've wondered if I married the right person or wondered what happened to the person I thought I married. And, you know, if you can be honest and transparent with yourself, you may have had a moment or two like that as well. So I'll share another really quick story. I can remember actually a specific day where I was feeling completely overwhelmed by taking care of our daughter, who, you know, at the time was an infant. And I needed him, and I felt like he just wasn't there for me. It was like I was having this out-of-body experience where, you know, complaint after complaint, he could just not do anything right. I didn't feel understood. I didn't feel supported. And I felt like I was doing everything on my own. And I'll never forget what he said to me in that conversation. He said, "Siobhan, I'm for you. I'm not your enemy." And it kind of stopped me in my tracks. You know, it made me see, like, here was this person that I love most in the world, and I created this story about him as someone who was against me, you know, as someone who would never meet my expectations, as someone who I couldn't communicate with, someone who I needed to distance myself from instead of drawing closer to. And, you know, that was really an eye-opening moment. And, you know, it just really helped me to see that, you know, I was actually doing things that were hurting our marriage. And once I began to see that, I could actually sort of listen to him and see our conflict as growth opportunities and learn how to turn towards him when it was the last thing I wanted to do. And so I say all that, I share all that to say that, you know, if it's possible for me, it's possible for you. And tonight, I'd just like to show you how, you know. And before we get to the good stuff, I just want to cover a few logistics. So this call is being recorded so that if you would like to listen again, it's available to you as well as for others who maybe weren't able to join us live. So there will be a point where I can open the lines up for questions. And I just want you to know that it is being recorded. So as we go into that segment, and if you want to ask a question, you can certainly maintain your anonymity and not say your name. And then you should have also received a worksheet in an email from me where you can sort of take some notes, and it outlines each of the points that I'm going to be sharing as well as some action steps. And so at the same time, I know, you know, okay, great, we have this worksheet. But if you're like me, you may be doing like five things right now. So again, really honored that you were able to squeeze me in onto your plate, which I'm sure is very, very full. And if you'd like to and you can take notes, great. If you can't, again, you can listen to this again and capture whatever notes on the handout that you need. The other thing that I want to mention is, as I go through these five points, it's going to be a lot of information. And rather than becoming sort of overwhelmed, I really want you to find the one that speaks most to you and what you think you need to work on most right now and to focus on that. And again, you'll have a recording so you can listen again and again. But as we go on tonight, I just want you to ask yourself, what do I need right now and what's going to help me the most tonight? Sound good? All right, and you're also all on mute right now as well. So I'm posing questions to you and know that you can't actually respond in a way that I can hear you. But let's get to it. Okay, so the first hidden thing that we unknowingly do to hurt our marriages is expecting your husband to act, think, and feel the way you would. I'll say it again, expecting your husband to act, think, and feel the way you would. So as women, I believe we have this miraculous ability to multitask. We can anticipate the needs of everyone and respond sensitively to everyone else's emotions. That's just how we're made. And the way we think and do things comes so naturally that we think everyone else would think and do the same thing. So when it comes to our marriages, you know, we're looking for that equal partner, someone who's just going to give as much as we give, who will do as much as we do, who will be as considerate as we are in just the same way that we would do it. We're expecting, you know, this 50-50 relationship where, you know, if we cook the dinner, we want him to do the dishes. Or if we do something nice for him, we want him to do something nice for us. And when we feel like we're doing all the work and that it's not 50-50, whether that's with the housework or some emotional work related to the relationship, we feel slighted, you know? And then we ask ourselves these questions. And I want you to just be honest. Have you ever asked yourself something like this? Why do I have to do it all? When is he going to do his part? Why do I have to be the one to always put forth the effort? Now, I know I've asked myself those questions. And in those times, you know, we pull back a little, right? We wait to see what he's going to do, if he's going to step up and do what we think he should be doing, right? And when he doesn't, we either pick up the slack and, you know, do so and just get it done ourselves, but we do so with like this extra attitude, right? And so now we're mad and feeling like we don't have a real partner, like we're not in this together, and that if it's going to get done, we're the only person to do it. So again, I shared that I would not only be saying, you know, the ways that we're hurting, but how to stop and what to do instead. And so the key here is to not only accept that your husband is not you, that he is not a mind reader, that he's not going to always know what to do and how you would like him to do it, but to really embrace that, embrace the fact that he's not you and change your expectations. You know, the reality is, if you wanted to be with someone who thought the way you think and did the things you do, you'd be by yourself. Right? You'd be married to yourself. But your husband, you know, I believe, is in your life to help you evolve into the person, you know, that God created you to be. And that includes developing the ability to appreciate your differences. And so I'm going to offer you three specific ways to do that. The first one is to stop keeping score of what you do and what your husband doesn't do. So in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter how many times he does X or doesn't do X. You know, your job is to love him unconditionally and to be his helpmate, right? And if you have children, I just want you to consider, you know, how much you give to them every day, and they can do nothing for you in return, except maybe, you know, just be really cute or say thank you or I love you, which of course melts your heart. But at the same time, you know, you understand as a parent that your role is to give of yourself sacrificially, and you do so without keeping score, right? You're not like, well, I changed your diaper this time or I packed your lunch that time. And so the goal here is to aim for that in your marriage as well, to stop keeping score. The second point is to find the good in your differences. So when you first get together, right, you really appreciate the things about your partner that are different from you, right? So if you're kind of more on the quiet side, you love that your husband is so outgoing and can talk to anyone about anything. And if you're sort of all over the place financially, you might appreciate his discipline and ability to keep a budget. But over time, you know, the things that are different can sometimes begin to annoy you, right? So now he talks too much, or his budget suggestions really feel confining to you. And the thing is, if we're being honest, the only thing that changed in that time is your attitude towards it. So if you can rewind your mind and if you can be more intentional about finding the good about it, the good about those differences, and what you can both learn from each other, you'll just be in a much better place. So find the good in your differences. And then the third thing is to be really clear about your request. So again, I know sometimes explaining things to your husband seems like wasted time, that, you know, he's going to ask 1,001 questions and you think that it would just be easier to just do it yourself. But what ends up happening, you know, is that you take it on and then you get overwhelmed and then you resent the fact that he didn't help you, right? It's kind of like a crazy cycle. Or you want him to be a certain way because he should just know, right? He should just know that he's supposed to do that. But when he doesn't get it and doesn't do what you want, you get mad at him. Again, a little bit of a crazy cycle. And so what we have to do is develop the patience to be clear about our requests. And I call them requests because that's exactly what they are. They're requests. He can choose to honor them or not, right? And you've seen that, right? When you ask him to do things, he either does it or he doesn't. And there's really not much you can do to make him one way or the other. And so, again, being really clear about your request, and then I'll just add to that, and being, you know, willing and okay if he doesn't follow through in the way that you would like. So that's all under hidden ways we hurt our marriage number one, expecting your husband to think, act, and do all the things that you would. The second one is withholding love. And so I want to ask you, you know, when you're mad or upset or hurt by something your husband does, how do you react? You know, what is it that you do? What are the top three things you do? And if you have your worksheet, you know, you can write them down there. You can just think about it. You know, when you're mad, upset, or hurt by something your husband does, how do you react? Now, I'm going to guess that some of those reactions include, you know, not talking to him and avoiding him, or maybe you stop doing things for him or stop doing things with him, or you just sit around thinking about what he did wrong. You know, at the end of the day, you want your apology, and nothing will make things better until he realizes the error of his ways. And so in the meantime, I just want to ask, you know, what happens? What happens in the meantime when you're stewing and mad? You know, you still feel bad. And I'm sure you sort of go back in time and sort of dig up the last time he did something similar. And, you know, how do I know these things? Because I've done them too. And the realization that I wanted to share with you tonight is that, you know, when we choose to withhold our love by ignoring or just not being nice, we actually don't win. You know, I know we think, well, he hurt me, or he made me mad, so I want him to feel hurt too. Or I don't feel like being nice to him. And, you know, I'm not going to fake the funk and act like I'm not upset. And he should know he's wrong, right? He should know he's wrong. And I have to say, I'm not so sure. And, you know, one of the things I remember when my husband and I were going through premarital counseling before we got married, one of our mentors shared a statement that really stuck with me. And she said her husband loved her when she was unlovable. And I think that's really powerful. You know, I want you to think of a time or many times, you know, where your husband may have shown you love and grace when you didn't deserve it. You know, none of us are perfect, but we did promise to love each other in good times and bad times. And, you know, yes, I'm sure you're probably saying to yourself, I technically love my husband all the time, but truthfully, sometimes that love has conditions. Otherwise, you'd act the same way towards him no matter what he's doing. And so here what I'll suggest is that you decide ahead of time that you will still act lovingly towards your husband. And I want you to think, and I want you to do that for three specific types of interactions that trigger you. And these are specific to you. So you really have to think about, you know, the three types of things that usually happen that really frustrate you and cause you to sort of withhold your love and to withdraw from your husband. And so, for example, I'll just give you my own examples. You know, I'm a little on the impatient side, I will admit. And there are lots of times where my husband, in my opinion, is not moving fast enough. And I've learned to, like, literally have a conversation with myself where I just let it go, where I have to tell myself that being late is not the worst thing in the world, where I'm even able to sort of look at how we got into this place of needing to rush. But more importantly, that, you know, it's just not worth the fight. Another thing for me is when he doesn't do things the way I would do them. You know, I've learned to just let that go too and realize that my way is not always the best. And it's not the only right way. And so what I'll just ask you to do again, if you have your worksheet, is to think of the times you usually get really frustrated. You know, those times where you sort of, that set you off into withholding your love and just being honestly just mean to your husband. And I want you to make a commitment now to choose to react differently in those three specific times. Okay? So you can give that some thought. All right, moving on to point number three in the hidden ways we hurt our marriages. And this one is not prioritizing the relationship. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but whenever I hear of a couple splitting up or getting divorced, I always wonder what happened. I mean, you know, like for sure there are some couples that, you know, were just not suited for each other in the beginning, like you saw that. But most, you know, seem to be in love and happy. And then all of a sudden, at least to us, all of a sudden, to me, they're no longer together. And I wonder, like, where did it all go wrong? So, of course, you know, I realize that there's the times where sort of tragedy has struck the marriage. Maybe someone cheated or put the family in a financial crisis or something really, really big. But then there are those other times where it isn't something so big, where, you know, they just argue a lot. They feel like they're going in different directions. They feel like they're just not in love anymore. And in these instances, what I believe is happening it's sort of the culmination of a lot of daily decisions that drive them apart. And, you know, I once heard this other relationship coach say that the only difference between a marriage in a little bit of trouble and one hanging by a string is time. And I believe that each day we're confronted with daily decisions that either bring us together as a couple and bring us stronger as a couple or weaken us as a couple. And there's actually no in between, in my opinion. So, you know, you may be asking, well, what does that even look like? And so it looks like, you know, telling your husband about an important part of your day or not. It's deciding to give each other, you know, this nice warm welcome when you return home at the end of the day or not. It's deciding, you know, to talk on the phone with that friend when you could talk to him instead. It's deciding to let things go that really are not that important. It's deciding to do something nice just because. It's deciding to share how you really feel and what's really got you upset rather than just giving the silent treatment. It's being loving and kind when it's really hard to do so and you don't want to. So, you know, now I want you to think about your day or a typical week for you. How do you spend most of your time? What gets the most attention, focus, and energy from you? Just think about that. And where is your husband on that list? You know, lots of times we just take for granted that he's a constant, right? You're married and no one's going anywhere right now. You know, you're busy with other things that need your attention, like right now, right this minute. you know, like the kids or work or school or friends or that date you have with the TV on TGI Thursday. And so, you know, you tell yourself, oh, you know, later you'll have time to put your marriage first, or someday soon you'll know what to do to make things better, or later you'll read that book or attend that seminar or go to that workshop. But what happens? Honestly, right? Later comes and later goes. Someday turns into another day and another day and another day. And time has passed that you can't get back. And the time it takes, again, that's the time it takes for a marriage to go from a little bit of trouble to hanging by a thread. Those daily decisions, those tiny daily decisions. And so something has got to change. And this call, again, is all about action. And I'm going to encourage you to change something this week. Now, I'm not suggesting a complete overhaul, but all I want you to do is to identify one thing you will trade this week in order to prioritize your marriage. Just make a commitment to do that. Okay? Point number four. In the things we do unknowingly that harm our marriages. And this one is talking bad about your partner. Now, for those of you who've heard one of my talks before, you probably heard me talk about venting and complaining to our friends and family about our husbands. It's not a good idea and only magnifies the problem and then leaves them, whoever you've just vented to, feeling some type of way about him, to be honest. But this time, I'm actually talking about things that are a little more subtle. You know, like if you're out and having a conversation and you mention something like, my husband would never do anything like that, or I wish he would do something like that, or he can be so stubborn or such a know-it-all, and on and on. You're not really complaining about any specific thing you're going through. You're just making general statements, right? And you may even do this like in a joking way right in front of him. And you don't really see any harm in it at all. You're just making an observation. But, you know, what I think happens is that in those instances, we're not aware of the hidden thoughts and judgments we have about our husbands. And honestly, when we make those comments, that's what's really coming out. So I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the audio program that came along with your registration, but it was called Becoming Aware. Again, it's that free gift you got for registering. And if you did, hopefully you were able to uncover some of those hidden thoughts and ideas you have about your husband. Now that you've done that, if you have done that, or if you think about it, you know, how have you sort of let some of those thoughts slip out? Right? There's no judgment here. I'm guilty too. But I just want you to think about, you know, some of those side comments that you may have mentioned that really are talking bad about your husband, but you hadn't even thought of it that way. You know, think about if he said some of those things about you, right? Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sensitive, and even though I know I'm not perfect, I kind of want my husband to think that I am. So, you know, if he makes these little side comments about me not sticking to a budget or being impatient or not always putting things back where they belong, I feel a little bad. But, you know, when your relationship is strong and it's on good terms, those little comments don't really do much harm. They do still do harm, but not much harm. But, you know, if you catch you on a bad day or when you're in a tough spot in your relationship, it can really ignite a serious situation. And so I just want you to pay attention to the ways you may be, you know, bad-mouthing your husband without even realizing it. And I just want you to be aware and to map out a plan of how you can do things differently. And, you know, if you honestly can't stop yourself from making those comments, it's just so second nature to you, you know, some alternatives might be to make sure you follow up with something positive. You know, don't just leave the negative out there, but say, you know, yeah, he may be really messy around the house, but he is a really good father. Something like that. Or you can sort of highlight a downfall of your own, you know, or something similar that's not so great about you. But I think what's most important for us to remember is that words carry a lot of power. And, you know, once said, they can't be taken back. You know, no matter how many times we apologize or try to explain our true intent. And so, again, point number 4 is talking bad about your husband. Again, in more subtle ways than just the regular complaining and venting, which is also very damaging as well. And then the last point is playing the blame game. And, okay, so I'm sure we're all familiar with this saying, you know, when you point one finger at someone else, 3 fingers are pointing back at you. And ironically, we probably think of this applying to someone else who's, like, accusing us or blaming us for something. But we know that there's really a lot of truth to this, right? It's so easy to see what someone else should be doing to make things better, you know, how they should be acting differently. We spend a lot of time thinking about that, right? But unfortunately, and fortunately, I'll say, the only thing we have control over is our reaction and attitude towards others' actions. I'm sure you've heard that before. You know, some things we just have to accept as they are right now and to stop fighting with what is and wanting it to be different. If we're able to look at ourselves and really understand what's making us so upset, we'll see that if we can alter our perspective or take some responsibility for our own actions, we'll feel so much better. Now, I'm not suggesting that we excuse certain things. You know, you have your limits and your boundaries. But at the end of the day, right, you want your peace. And ironically, peace and empowerment can be found by looking at ourselves. And that's because it gives us something active to do. We're not, you know, sitting around waiting for him to do something or to stop doing something. You know, we are the ones actively engaged in making it better. And then we can see how we may share responsibility for where we are, right? Essentially, we sort of like become the bigger person and the model of what we'd like to see in our husband, right? So who doesn't appreciate when someone takes appropriate responsibility for things? It's really honorable and it gets them a lot of respect, right? So we all remember Steve Harvey and the debauchery of the Miss Universe pageant, right? But he stood up and took responsibility. He didn't throw other people under the bus. He admitted his mistake and apologized profusely. Who can't respect that, right? So what I would suggest that you do now is to think of some things you've been blaming your husband for. You know, things you say that if he would only do this, or he's the one that really needs to fill in the blank. Again, the things you've been blaming your husband for. And after you have your list, I want you to be super honest and identify the ways you contribute to that issue. Now, at first, it may be hard, right? So I'll just share, you know, for example, one of my issues is that my husband works a lot, and sometimes it can be a source of frustration for me. Now, of course, you know, I don't make his schedule or have anything to do with his hours. But the way that I contribute to this being an issue is by getting frustrated, which sometimes comes out as complaining. But if I took responsibility for how I feel instead of wanting him to change his schedule so I can, quote unquote, be happy, I would be in a much better place. So what I try to do is to get to a place of true gratitude. You know, really, instead of thinking about how much time he's away or how much he's working, where I can be grateful that I have a husband who, one, has a job, that he is willing and that he enjoys the work that he does, that he's able to provide for our family, and that he's able to contribute to his company and to the world in a really meaningful way. And I realize that for a man, you know, earning a living is very critical to his identity, and that he really sees it as his responsibility. And it's not some way to make me mad, but it really kind of sort of speaks to the ambition that God gave him. And when I can respect and appreciate that, I just feel better. And so I hope that example can help you as you think about it too. And so the next thing I want you to do is just really to just develop your own strategy for dealing with the things you normally blame him for. And the way that you can do that is I just want to suggest that you get yourself what I'm calling like a trigger question. And it's when, you know, you're triggered to the point, you know, when you're triggered to the point of wanting to blame him and point the finger at him, you ask yourself a question that gets you to a different place. So, you know, a question may be, how can I take responsibility for how I'm feeling? Or how am I contributing to this being an issue in our relationship? Okay? So, there you have it, the five hitting ways you're hurting your marriage, how to stop and what to do instead, and I'll just recap them all, right? So the first one is expecting your husband to act, think, and feel the way you would. Number two, withholding your love. Number three, not prioritizing the relationship. Again, they're those daily tiny decisions. Number four, talking bad about your partner. Again, this is in really subtle ways that to you just seem like little jokes. And then number five, playing the blame game, not looking at yourself. So there you have it. Again, those are the five. And, you know, as I mentioned, again, there's only so much that we can cover in this one call together. I really would hope that we would be able to stay connected. All of you are now on my email, and I send out weekly tidbits on Wednesday. It's called Why Not Wednesday, which is just a quick little email. It's literally read in less than 1 minute that gives you a little tidbit to think about and hopefully some encouragement to make your relationship even better. And then I also have a private group on Facebook. And a private group is just means that other people cannot see the posts in your news feed. It's just for the people that are part of the group. It's called Happily Married Woman. And it's for any woman who is married, whether you're actually happy right now or you hope to one day reclaim your happiness, but it's a place where I am daily, where I try to post little tidbits, again, of inspiration and motivation to become a great place of just support from other women as we try to make our relationships as best as they can be. So as I mentioned, I am going to offer the time for people to just ask questions or make comments if you have them. I'm going to take everyone off mute, and the way that this will work best is if you are not going to have a comment or question, and especially if you're in a very loud place, if you could just mute your phone yourself. And so each phone has its own mute capability, so you can mute your phone yourself. And then I'm going to take everyone off of mute. And again, feel free to make any comment or ask any question. And again, this call is being recorded, so if you prefer to not use your name, that's totally fine. If you prefer to use an alias, that's fine as well. I will call you whatever you tell me to call you, or I won't use a name at all. So again, if you could just place your phone on its own mute, unless you have a question or a comment, and I will open up the line.
Siobhan?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Coretta. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Coretta?
I'm pretty good, thank you. I have a question.
Yes.
So I am newly married. We have not reached our one-year point yet. And it seems that communication, well, effective communication, is a little bit of an issue. And I just wanted to know, like, what techniques could I use to effectively communicate with my husband when he's already on the defensive? Like, before I even can even ask a question or make a statement, he's already defensive. And it's kind of hard for me to get around him being defensive. I'll try. But then I guess I'm a little impatient, too, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating when I'm trying to ask a question or make a statement in as, you know, I don't want to be offensive. I'm trying to be as less offensive as possible, but he's instantly on the defensive. So how do I work around that so that we don't get off to a bad start with the conversation?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And communication, you know, every single time is like the top thing that people struggle with in their relationship. And so I think part of it is letting him be on the offensive, right? And so, you know, I'm not quite sure exactly what questions you are asking him, but I think a lot of times as women, you know, one of the things we have to ask ourselves is what is our intent in having a particular conversation with our husbands? Is it to prove a point that we already kind of think we know the answer? Is it really to be genuinely curious and really deeply want to know what his answer is without any assumptions at all? But I think, you know, if he's automatically on the defensive, there's something he's perceiving in your approach as criticism. And I'm not saying that it is, but I think to ask him, you know, how would he like for you to approach him, you know? And what can you do to communicate better with him? I think he's the one that's going to hold the answer. But I think so much of it, again, is in our being and how we come to the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage you to always, one, check yourself, like, what is your intention? And to watch your tone and your body language and to really just ask from a place of genuine curiosity and allow him to be on the offensive and sharing with you what he needs from you rather than feeling like he's on the defensive.
All right.
Does that help
you? It does. I don't. It does.
It's hard. I know. It's hard. Yeah. Do you want to give me like one specific example?
I don't know. Let me think. I may have to come back to that. I've noticed that. If we're not both in a good place to begin with, that the communication can go left.
Yes.
And I try to approach it in whatever it is that needs to be discussed. I try to approach it in a gentle way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if – I wonder if, like, some of the things I've said in the past maybe makes him feel mm-hmm. that I'm criticizing. So I think about that, like, okay, is it something I said in the past that makes him think – that, you know, this is like a loaded question or...
Yes. Well, I mean, I think that's the case for all of us, right? So there's certainly things that you've asked him in the past that have put him on the defensive. And because you now know that he is going to be defensive, you come to the conversation with that bag as well. I think one of the things, you know, there's this book that I recently read. It's called Love and Respect. And mm-hmm. You've heard of it?
No, I'm taking notes.
Okay, great. It's called Love and Respect, and I am so mad that I cannot remember the author, but it's a pretty popular book. And what it talks about is a woman's most greatest need is to feel loved, and a man's is to feel respected. And one of the things that it talks about, and then I've definitely seen this even in my own marriage, is that a man wants to feel like he's on a pedestal and that you adore him, basically. That male ego is really, really strong. And so sometimes, you know, as you think about approaching him with anything, you may just need to reassure him that he's still the man for you, right? That he is still whatever the things that he really, you know, wants to be offering you, but that you appreciate him. Because when we come at him with a question or a criticism, no matter how gentle, it sort of chips mm-hmm. away at that ego where he feels like he's not on that pedestal. And so he will then think about, oh, well, I can't get anything right. I can't do anything right for you.
Yes,
it's a cycle. So I can't do anything right, and why am I going to try? Because you're just going to criticize me anyways. And so I think it will be a lot of just, again, massaging that ego and trying to, you know, lead with the good and really gently talk about the bad. One of the things I will do, I'm going to send out the replay of this for people, but I also have this marriage maintenance guide, and it's a check-in, it's a series of questions for like a check-in conversation that will really enable him to share what's going well for him and, again, put him on the offensive and really yeah. open the lines of communication. So I will make a note to include that in a follow-up email this week with the recording of this call so that you can take a look at that and see if that might help open up the lines of communication.
Okay.
Also, I just want to throw in, Siobhan, the name, the book, Love and Respect, is by Emerson.
Yes.
Edwards.
Yes. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just looked it up, too.
Awesome mm-hmm. book.
Great. It really is. It really is. Yep.
Got it. Thank you, both.
You're welcome.
I wanted to chime in. My name is LaToya Newsom.
Hi, LaToya.
Hi. The topic that the young lady just got through talking about is so critical and important, especially in my marriage. But it's actually the other way around for me. I'm the one usually left saying, I can't do anything right. Or because he comes to me a lot of times with criticism. And I told him, you have to try to find a sandwich with me, praise, criticism, praise. If it's just a lot of criticism, then you leave me feeling that I can't do anything right, and then I don't feel comfortable or safe, you know, with coming to you concerning whatever a concern of mine may be. And so I'm left in that place, you know. I want to know that he's coming to me with a genuine, sincere, you know, concern for a concern that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times our communication breaks down right there, because then I get in that place that you talked about where I withdraw or I hold back, you know, because I have built a wall already, because here he is coming to me And I'm thinking he's coming with criticism because of the way he comes.
Yes.
And I'll try to sit there and tell myself, just listen, just listen. You
yes.
know, because we're big on gestures. You know, my eyebrows may raise, my hands may go on my hips, I may cross my arms and close myself. And all those are forms of communication.
Yes, they are.
Right. And when I do that, he's already pointing that out at me. Look at you, look at you. You're already closed. Open your mind, look at you. I can't even say nothing. And in my mind, I'm like, God, he's so right. But on the defense, I'm like, just talk, you know. And it's just, it's one thing after the other. So I can relate on the other flip side of that.
Yes. So, LaToya, I think one of the, you know, one of the things that I heard is that, you know, you tried to coach him a little bit on how he should come to you, right? You need a sandwich. You need the good, the bad, and then the good, right? And that is, you know, a request, right? It's one of those things that I
think
that's your request. That's how you would like for him to do it. But he's not, right? And he hasn't for however long you guys have been together. And so I think the work for you, in addition to certainly being aware of your body language, which you so accurately said is also communication, is to really accept that that's the way he's going to come at you. And to get to a place where you embrace it, right? So you know exactly how he's going to do it, right? It's not a surprise to you because he's very consistent. And it's really within your own mind to not take it personally. And that's really, really hard because especially when someone is coming to you directly with a criticism, how can you not take it personally? But if you can shift your mind to think about, you know, there's something in his experience that this is the only way he knows how to communicate.
Then
it'll be better, right? So if you think about even how he communicates with other people, I'm sure that this is his skill set. It's in a small little box. He can't step outside of that box because he hasn't been taught how, or his experiences have just not lended themselves for him to be able to do that. But if you can just look at it as that's what he knows how to do, and it's not an offense at me, then I think that will be even more important, where you just really, this is what he knows to do, and he doesn't know how to do anything better. I can try to teach him. But he's had years and years and decades of experience being this way, that this little snippet of time with me is not going to change that, because he has a whole lifetime of learning that has led him to communicate in the way that he does.
Right.
And so if you can look at him with compassion and know that he's doing what he knows how to do and not, you know, really trying to be super critical and mean to you, that's that. And then I think the, you know, again, coming from a place of gratitude is, you know, as hard as it is to receive the criticism, he cares enough to offer it.
Now that's where I have to see it, as he's caring enough to offer it.
Exactly, because so many more men, and I've talked with women who are in this place, so many more don't say anything. And they just walk away because they're fed up, you know.
Right.
Don't say anything at all. And so, again, I know it's difficult to be on the receiving end of the criticism, but if you look at it as this is what he knows to do, this is what his experiences have led him to do, and it's not to be mean to me, but, again, look for other ways of how that's just how he is, even with other people. You'll see that it's nothing personal.
Okay, I guess you're right. I'm so used to, for me, I'm so used to saying it's not good, or for both of us, we say, you know, the way you are is not acceptable. And so, but I guess looking at it in that way, it is what it is. And so it just may help me. So, yeah, I'll definitely put that in practice. Thank you.
That's it, exactly. It is what it is. It's not going to change. Yeah.
Right.
I have a question for LaToya.
Okay.
If he did approach you with the sandwich technique, could you accept it better, or would you honestly just pick out the criticism? Because I've tried that sandwich technique, and it seems like he went around all of the positive and pulled out just the negative.
Wow.
Would you Did you take the sandwich, or would you still just pull out the negative and be affected by just the negative?
You know, I love you for that question because, you know, since I stand in the place where your husband is, I probably would pick out the criticism because I'm so used to it, you know. But this knowledge that she's given is so powerful, which will help me next time to say, okay, you know, now I'm armed with the knowledge to kind of just know better. You know, look at it differently. And for your husband, he may not be armed with it, so he may continue. And if I had not heard this tonight, yeah, I probably would continue to pick out the criticism because I'm already on the defense when he's coming, you know. So, yeah, that was a good one. That's a good question.
Fantastic. So we are at 10 o'clock. I know if there are other questions, I'm happy to stay on the line for a minute or two, but I definitely want to be respectful of people's time. But again, I can stay on for a few more minutes if there are other questions or comments that people want to share.
Well, I'm going to be leaving because my husband's going to be leaving for work in a few minutes. So I'm going to say good night and thank you all, and I really enjoyed this.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good night.
You too.
You too. All right. Well, I definitely won't belabor the point. I believe everyone should have my email address if there's something that, you know, when you hang up the phone or if you think about all this information, if there's anything that comes up for you, I'm happy to respond to emails, and we'd be more than happy to hear from you, even if it's just a comment you have about our time together tonight. But I will be sending out the recording. I will send out that marriage maintenance guide that I mentioned, and I'll send out the link for that love and respect book that I also mentioned. And I'll be doing more of this, so definitely stay tuned. Join my Facebook group, Happily Married Woman. Pay attention to my emails, and I really look forward to staying connected with all of you and just offering this dialogue for us. It's been great to have all of you on the line, and I hope it's been useful for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, take care, everyone. Good night.
Good night.